Rolling Maseches Brachos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah here is concerned with the question of, is it better that one person makes a bracha for everyone while they're eating, or if each person makes their own bracha? The reason why we might want to have a single person make a bracha for everyone is because there's a Torah value that Barov Am Hadras Melech, that with the multitude of the people is an increased glory for the king, meaning God. The idea being that if the people, the Klal Yisrael, or the community is acting in unison, so that's a greater kavod, a greater honor to Hashem and his glory than if everyone acts as an individual person. On the other hand, a person can only fulfill his blessing requirement if he is paying attention to the other person who's saying and reciting the blessing. So he has to be listening, and he has to be mentally and physically available to respond to that blessing. So the fear is that if a person is distracted, then it would be better he make his own bracha than attempt to rely on another person's blessing and not fulfill his obligation at all. That being the case, the Mishnah is going to say, the gist of the Mishnah will be that if they are all eating together as a group and they're going to be eating simultaneously from the beginning, then one person can make a blessing for everybody. And if not, everyone should make their own blessing. Now, in the time of the Mishnah, the way they ate formal sit-down meals together normally was beheseba, reclining together. Like each person sat on almost like a couch, and then each person would have their own private table upon which food was served, and they would each kind of recline and have a protracted meal, each in a sort of relaxed way. And if they would be sitting down as opposed to reclining, that would indicate that they're having just sort of an ad hoc, you know, perfunctory, functional meal to quickly snack and do what they had to do to get on. And they wouldn't be considered to be eating together. So the way the mission describes it, it says, Hayoshvin le'echol, if they were sitting as opposed to reclining to eat their meal, kol echad ve'echad mevarch la'atzmo, then they're not considered to be eating together. They just happen to be sitting next to each other. And that being the case, each person makes their own blessing. Hesebu, on the other hand, if they are reclining, that would indicate that they are together. And that being the case, echad mevarch la'kulan, it's better that one person makes the blessing for everybody. Now, it's clear from the Gemara, and the Bar Tanur brings it down, that it's not heseba, reclining, or yeshiva, sitting per se, that makes the difference. And what it has to do is if they're sitting as a group or as just individuals side by side. So the Gemara brings down the case, and this is the Bar Tanur's example as well, that if people ahead of time said, let's go and eat in a particular place at a particular time, and then you go and meet in that place and eat together, so even though you're not reclining, if you're sitting down at that picnic table which you made up to meet at, or that restaurant where you made up to eat, you're eating as a group, and therefore the rule would be that one person makes the blessing for everybody, which we're familiar with, let's say, for example, in the limited cases where we do apply this halacha, like, for example, on a Friday night dinner. Yeah, so when everyone sits down, one person makes motzi for everybody, makes the bracha for everyone because everyone's sitting together as a group. I think the illustration of this point might be when you are on an airplane. So the person sitting next to you might be eating at the same time as you and right beside you, and you might even be having a conversation with him, but you're just two people sitting next to one another, not eating together per se. And that, of course, would mean that each person's, every man for himself, ever makes their own bracha. As opposed to when, like the example I gave before, if you meet your friend in a restaurant, so then you are eating together, and therefore one can make the bracha for everybody. I actually saw, for many years, I wondered, how many people do you need to have a rov am? I saw that at least according to the Malbim, you need three, which would mean if just you and your friend are there, there's no issue of rov am, and each person can make their own bracha anyways. But once you have three or more, then it could be rov am hadras melech, and one makes the bracha for everybody. Fine. The Mishnah continues on, and it now queries what happens if during the meal, even a meal where you're eating together as a group, wine arrives. Now, we said previously that unlike other foods, wine requires its own bracha, even in the middle of a meal, even if it's functioning as part of the meal, because wine is goram its own bracha, wine is so significant, it deserves and gets its own blessing, a brei pri gafen, even in the middle of a meal. So the question is, if now everyone's going to make a brei pri gafen mid-meal, should one make for everyone, or everyone make for themselves? And here, even if they were eating together, the rule is different. Balhem yain betocha mazon. If besocha mazon, while they're eating their food, in the midst of their meal, the wine arrives. Kol echad ve'echad mevarach la'atzmo. Even if they're eating together, even b'haseba, it doesn't matter. each person, when he drinks the wine, should make his own bracha, or her own bracha. And the reason is because the Gemara says that their beis habliya isn't panoi, their throat isn't available. And there are a number of pshatim what that might mean. One pshat is that because they are involved in their eating and drinking, they're eating, so then they're distracted mentally and not going to pay attention to the recital of the Bari Gafen that another person's making. In other words, since he's eating and involved in the eating process, he won't say amen, or at least won't have kavanah to say amen properly. Another pshat is that it's actually dangerous. If a person's eating food, he could choke, and the din is a person shouldn't talk while he's eating, and therefore, if you force him to say amen, he could actually choke, and God forbid, and that would be dangerous, and therefore, again, he wouldn't make his own bracha. The other pshatim as well, whatever the case is, the halacha is that if they're in the midst of eating, then every person should make their own blessing rather than one making a blessing for everybody. La'achra mazon. On the other hand, after the meal is done. So again, we said before that their meals are divided into stages. There was the pre-game show, as I called it, where they would drink before hamotzi, then they would eat their fill, and then after they finished eating, but prior to Birkat HaMazon, they would once again bring out wine and drink, even after the food and the tables have been removed. So if La'achra Mazon, the food has now been removed from the tables, so everyone's throats are now available and clear, but yet they haven't benched, and at that point the wine arrives, as opposed to, in contrast to the previous clause of the Mishnah, B'toch HaMazon, while they're eating. Here it's Achar HaMazon, and therefore La'achar HaMazon, Echad Mavarach LaKulam. Once again, one person can make the blessing for everybody because there's no fear of choking or no fear that people aren't paying attention. Of course, now everyone is available to pay attention and make Amen properly to the bracha. Vahu, which means in he, Omer Alav Mugmar. He will also make the blessing on the incense. Now, the custom was that after they finished the meal and after they benched, then they would burn incense to make a more pleasing aroma. Of course, in those days, they didn't have refrigerators or running toilets for that matter. And therefore, they wanted to freshen up the room after eating, and they would burn incense. When one partakes of the incense and smells it, there's a bracha required, assuming it comes from a tree. It's the brachas b'rei atzei v'samim, from fragrant trees, fragrant woods. And that's the proper blessing, assuming that's what you're smelling. In any case, so the question is, who would make that blessing? The Mishnah says he should. Of course, it's ambiguous who he is. Now, normally in English, and in other languages, in Hebrew as well, if you use a pronoun like who, or in Hebrew or in English, he, then it's understood that the antecedent, the most recently mentioned noun, is what is being referred to. So, that's one way to read this Mishnah, meaning that we're saying the person who makes the blessing on the wine, he should be the one also who will make the blessing on the besamim, or as the Mishnah calls it, the mugmar. That indeed is how Rashi and Tosfos learn it, that the who, the Hebrew word who, which is referring to he, the one who made the blessing on the wine, he should also make the blessing on the mugmar, the incense. However, that's not how the Bartanura learns it. The Bartanura learns it, like the Rambam, that we're referring to the person who led the Birkat HaMazon, the benching. Remember, in those days, the Mezamen, which we'll get to shortly, the person who invites for the blessing of the grace after meals, he would be the one who would recite all of the benching, and everyone else would just listen and answer amen to those brachas. And that person would also then make the bracha on the mugmar. Now, it's a little tricky to read in the words, because we were talking about the person making a blessing on the wine, and we haven't got any explicit mention of anybody making a bracha on the Birkat HaMazon after the food. However, the way that the Bartanura reads it would be from the beginning, Hayoshvin Le'achol, when they sit to eat, if they're sitting as opposed to reclining, Kolecha Be'achad Mevarach La'atzmo, each person makes their own blessing, meaning before and afterwards. So Bracha Rishona and Bracha Achrona. Heseibu, if they're reclining, therefore eating together, Echad Mevarach La'kulon, one person makes the brachas for everybody, both the hamotzi before and the birchas hamotzon afterwards. And vahu, that guy who benches afterwards, he'll make the bracha on the mugmar. Now, that may be a trickier read in the words. However, it's perhaps much more reasonable in terms of the chronology of events, because the chronology of events in the Mishnah is going to be that there's someone making hamotzi, then they eat, then let's say they drink wine, then they bench, and after the benching, they'll make a blessing on the mugmar on the incense. So it makes sense, according to the Bartanura, that the person who just led the benching, since immediately after benching will come the burning of the incense, the mugmar, that same person who led the benching will also have the zchus, the merit to also recite the blessing on the mugmar. And the chiddush there is that even if during benching, let's say someone came into the room who was a bigger Talmud Chacham, and then it, by rights would be go to, you might, one might think, should therefore the honor of making the blessing on the incense should go to the one who just walked in the room, the bigger Talmud Chacham. The din is no, once we've honored whoever it is to recite the Birkat HaMazon, then he continues on and we won't slight him by sort of downgrading him in the room and making him lose the blessing for the mugmar that comes straight afterwards. Rather, we'll give him the blessing both on the benching and the attendant mugmar that comes right afterwards.